Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is May 31st, 2015, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is We Can Adance-a-tron If We Want To, But Should We? And our guest skeptic is Dr. Anthony Crocco. Anthony is the medical director and division head of pediatric emergency medicine at McMaster's Children's Hospital. He's known on YouTube for his rant-thonies and has recently developed a novel website to teach evidence-based medicine called Sketchy EBM. Welcome back to the SGEM, Anthony.
Thanks, Ken. It's always great to be back.
Now, one of the most common questions I get from the SGEM listeners is, when will Anthony be back and do another rant-thony?
Well, Ken, I can tell you that today is rant-thony day. I am so excited that we're putting together a rant-thony today. I can't tell you how excited I am.
Well, you've ranted before about fever fear, the dangers of cough medicine. So what's on your rant list today?
Today, it's all about pain control in children. How bad are we at this?
Can't wait to hear the new rant-thony. But how about your new knowledge translation project, Sketchy EBM? How's that coming along?
Well, there's a lot of work involved, Ken, kind of putting together a website and putting together the content, as I'm sure you're aware. But it's getting there. I'm getting some content on the website. So if people want to have a look and give me some feedback, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I love the name, but could you give us a 60-second elevator pitch on what this Sketchy EBM is all about?
How about a 10-second pitch? Pretty much what I'm trying to do is take seemingly complex evidence-based medicine concepts and make them easy to understand for the end user.
One of the best parts of Sketchy EBM, from my perspective, is the tagline. Love the tagline. Draw your own conclusions. And that's what we're trying to do with the SGEM. At the end, we always tell people to be skeptical of anything they learn. So people do need to draw their own conclusions once you've provided them the information. So if you get a chance, check out sketchyebm.com and watch a few videos. I think you'll be impressed, educated, and entertained. But Anthony, we're here in Edmonton. We are lighting the way as part of the Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians annual meeting. Anything you're looking forward to at CAPE 2015?
Oh, there's a whole host of things I'm looking forward to, Ken. But I think probably top of my list right now is listening to Professor Timothy Caulfield talking about medical myths, a topic I actually really enjoy listening about.
Oh, yeah. And it even includes Gwyneth Paltrow.
She's coming?
No. Relax. She's not coming. But you know what I'm really waiting for? I'm waiting for the Docs That Rock concert. It has one of our beam buddies, Sunil Upadhyay. He's in the band.
That's right. And this year it'll be held on Monday, June 1st at the Starlight Room. All the net proceeds will be directed to the EM Advancement Fund, EMAF, to support great Canadian EM research.
And then on Wednesday, I'll be running the FOMED track featuring Chris Bond, Aaliyah de Ramsey, Eve Purdy, and Lauren Westifer. No one will be foaming it alone. But that's enough chit-chat, Anthony. Let's get started on today's episode of the SGEM. Give us a case.
All right, so this case involves a 4-year-old girl who presents with diarrhea and 3 episodes of vomiting in the last 24 hours. The child has signs of mild dehydration. You make the diagnosis of gastroenteritis, and you're concerned about ensuring that the child is able to take enough fluids and wonder whether ondansetron is a good choice for this child.
Well, dehydration in children is a common presentation to the emergency department. And a main cause of dehydration in this age group is gastroenteritis. And it's characterized by that acute onset of diarrhea with or without nausea, vomiting, fever, and abdominal pain.
Yeah, the scope of this problem was quantified by Glass in 1991. 20 to 40 million episodes of diarrhea in children each year in the USA, 2 to 4 million physician visits per year, and 10% of all hospital admissions of children less than 5 years old.
Oh, Anthony, I've got to teach you how to say millions with your pinky finger. But in the last few years, there's been 2 systematic reviews on the use of ondansetron in children with vomiting and gastroenteritis.
That's right, Ken. The first was by DeCamp et al. In 2008, and the second was by Fedorovich et al. In 2011.
And you know what? We covered DeCamp in the SGEM number 12, and it showed impressive results. The number needed to stop vomiting? 5, my favorite number. The number needed to prevent 1 IV insertion? Again, 5. And the number needed to treat to prevent 1 admission? 14.
Given the prevalence of gastroenteritis in the pediatric population, the concerns around preventing dehydration, and the desire to avoid unnecessary invasive procedures or admissions, these results were very important.
So what's the clinical question for today's podcast, Anthony?
So today we're asking the question, what has been the trend in ondansetron use in the last 10 years, and how has this related to intravenous rates and admission rates?
And what reference have you pulled for us?
Today we're looking at Friedman et al. Impact of increasing ondansetron use on clinical outcomes in children with gastroenteritis, found in JAMA Pediatrics, 2014.
And what was the population?
Population was children less than 18 years old presenting to the emergency department with gastroenteritis.
And the intervention?
The intervention was oral ondansetron use.
And they compared it to what?
Well, they really did a time trend retrospective analysis.
Okay, so what were their primary outcomes then?
Primarily, they were looking at the rates of intravenous insertion.
And did they have any secondary outcomes?
They did. They looked at hospital admission rates, representation to the emergency department within 3 days, alternative diagnoses within 3 days, and a cost analysis over time.
So Friedman's conclusion was, quote, ondansetron use in children with acute gastroenteritis has increased dramatically in pediatric centers during the past decade without a concomitant reduction in intravenous rehydration or hospitalizations, end of quote. So let's go through the quality checklist for observational trials. Question number one, did the study address a clearly focused issue?
Yes, it did.
And did the authors use the appropriate methods to answer this question?
They did.
How about the cohort? Did they recruit them in an acceptable way?
Unsure here, Ken.
Question four, was the exposure accurately measured to minimize bias?
It was.
Was the outcome accurately measured to minimize bias?
Yes.
Have the authors identified all important confounding factors?
Yes.
How about the follow-up? Was it complete enough?
Unsure.
Question eight, how precise are the results?
Very high, due to the high N.
Now, do you believe the results?
I do, Ken.
Can the results be applied to the local population?
Unsure.
And do the results of this study fit with other available evidence?
Can't really say here, Ken.
Well, let's go through those results. During the time frame of the study, which was from 2002 to 2011, there were over 800,000 pediatric visits to the emergency department with gastroenteritis.
Huge number. You know, in this study, they found that oral ondansetron was given to 0.11% of patient visits in 2002, and that number increased to 42.2% of patients in 2011. This difference is very significant, with a p-value less than 0.001.
Yeah, going from 0.1 up to 42%. Whoa, big increase. Now, the rate of intravenous use didn't change that much, actually. It went from 18.7% to 17.8%, a non-significant difference.
That's right. And in addition to that, the rates of admission to hospital did not change significantly during this time frame either.
However, there was a significant drop in the representation rate, or bounce back rate, to the emergency department by 0.3%.
Yeah, a small number, but because of the high N in this study, that number is significant. Finally, 13.5% of children who received an intravenous for rehydration had been given oral ondansetron.
All right. Well, those are the results, Anthony. It's time to talk a little nerdy to me. So can you kick this off with a little bit of critical appraisal?
So Ken, this was overall a well-performed study. Anytime I see a study with hundreds of thousands of patients in them, I'm impressed. There was an interesting design feature that may have biased the results, however. Specifically, the authors excluded 14 institutions that did not have a low use period of ondansetron or a medium use period of ondansetron or a high use period of ondansetron administration during that time frame.
Yeah, and the remaining 18 institutions had ondansetron use that went from low to medium to high over the study time frame. And this strategy compromises the generalizability of this data to the average emergency department and may have an unknown biasing effect on the data.
This is the very first study of such a design to examine this clinical question. And as such, it's hard to compare the author's results with anybody else's because they just don't exist.
Well, how about comparing the author's results and conclusions to our conclusions then?
So we agree with the authors with the caveat that the results may not apply to centers that did not have an equivalent change in ondansetron use over that time frame.
The results do highlight the concern that we, as emergency department clinicians, may be inappropriately using ondansetron in pediatric patients with gastroenteritis.
I agree, Ken. Oral rehydration fluids should be trialed prior to ondansetron use. This strategy should be employed even in children with moderate dehydration. And my usual strategy with fluids and oral rehydration is go low and slow.
Mmm, like good barbecue. Go low and go slow. But only children who are severely dehydrated should receive an intravenous line immediately.
Yeah, I agree. You will notice that I've peppered my comments with the word may. For a more detailed discussion on the power of this word, please see sketchyebm.com.
Oh, nice promo there. Okay, give me a bottom line then. Bring this home. What's the SGM bottom line?
So for the center study, the rates of ondansetron use increased from 0.1% to 42% over the time period. There was no significant difference in the rates of IV insertion or hospitalization during that time frame.
And children with vomiting from gastroenteritis and mild to moderate dehydration should have a trial of oral rehydration therapy. Failing this, ondansetron should be administered.
Right, and failing that, intravenous fluids should be considered.
All right, so how about a case resolution then?
So this girl was not given ondansetron. She'd only vomited 3 times in the last 24 hours, so we tried oral rehydration low and slow in the emergency department. She was able to tolerate this, and we sent her home with proper instructions and return to emerge recommendations.
And so how are you going to take this new study of over 800,000 pediatric patients and apply it clinically?
So for us, I think the best decision is for kids with gastroenteritis, we need to save ondansetron for those patients who have failed oral rehydration therapy.
So how do you translate this? What do you tell patients? Or in this case, maybe what do you tell the parent?
So I tell parents that your child has a viral infection and we need to make sure that they can tolerate oral fluids. We want to avoid dehydration. We're going to start by giving your child oral rehydration fluid, small volumes slowly and frequently. If they vomit with this approach, we'll try giving them a medicine, ondansetron, to stop the vomiting. If that fails, we will start an intravenous and give them fluids in that way.
Well, there's that sound, and that means it's time for the Keener contest. Last week's winner was Justin Morgenstern. Justin is a community emergency physician from Toronto, Ontario. He knew that a Bankart lesion is an injury of the anterior inferior glenoid labrum, named after Dr. Arthur Bankart. Anthony, what's the Keener question this week?
So Ken, the Keener question this week is, what do you call the passage below or behind a tier of seats in a stadium through which crowds can exit?
Interesting. Well, if you know the answer, then send me an email, thesgem@gmail.com, with Keener in the subject line. That first correct answer, that person will receive a cool skeptical prize. Anthony, it's great to have you back. Good luck on the Sketchy EBM project, and we are all looking forward to your next Ranthony.
Thanks a lot, Ken. I hope you enjoy CAPE.
One last task then before you go. You know, what's the SGM tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
And draw your own conclusions. Talk to you next week.